My name is Alex Hernandez. I'm a 21-year-old entrepreneur. Each week, I bring a brand new episode inspiring dreams, growth, and learning. You are now listening to a brand new episode of The H Project. Turn up the volume. It's time to grind. What's up, family? Welcome to episode 65 of The H Project, and we're back with an amazing guest. I had the chance to sit down with Vin Gang. Vin is an entrepreneur, he's a keynote speaker, and he is a magician. Vin is awesome, man. Vin is an awesome guy. He's an absolute legend, and I know you guys are going to love him and the energy he brings to the show. But before we get into this interview, I want to take a moment and dedicate this episode to a girl who just recently reached out to me and told me how much I've been able to motivate her, and it's extremely humbling. But she's currently going through her journey of kicking cancer's ass. So stay strong, Samantha. You have people behind you, and keep doing you. All right, welcome to another episode of The H Project. I'm honored to introduce my new friend, Vin. Welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Can you do us a favor and introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Okay. If we're three things, I think you'd call me a magician, mm-hmm. a speaker, an entrepreneur. Yeah. And as an entrepreneur, I run a couple of businesses. I've obviously got my speaking business, got an online magic business, but I've got a luminary, which is my video production business. Awesome. So sums me up in a nutshell.
Good. Magician, influencer. So we kind of talked about it a little bit before we actually got started. I found you on Facebook. So just so you know, your Facebook targeting is working. It's working. But I took a moment to watch one of your videos and I was hooked. I knew how to reach out to you and get you on my show. And what I normally do with all these episodes, I normally end them out with gratitude. But this time I actually want to start with it. So I'm going to go first. And I'm going to tell you three things that I'm grateful for, and then we're going to let you go. So I'm grateful. Okay. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you from across the globe, and I'm grateful to have you on my show, but I'm also grateful to be alive in this day and age. And the last thing I'm grateful for is the love of my life, my girlfriend. She keeps me grounded and she helps me keep my head on straight. So those are my three things. What about you? You can go.
Wow. That's really nice, man. Okay. All right. Well, I'm grateful for my family. 100%. I am grateful for my friends. And super grateful for the serendipitous events that have happened in my life that have allowed me to now do what I love so much in my life. I'm just so grateful for that. Everything involved in all the serendipitous events, you know, my wife, my family, like just everything involved with that, you know, because there are times when you feel like you accidentally fall into it. Yeah. And those little moments, super grateful for those.
Good, man. It's always fun starting off with gratitude, isn't it?
It feels good, man. Really good at this.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. But you're a keynote speaker, but you bring something unique to the stage every time you perform, right? So how long have you been a magician for?
I've been a magician. You get in and out of it. I think most kids get into it like when they're eight. And, you know, I got into it around that age. And you fall in and out of it. I fell in and out of it a ton through primary school, high school, and university, because people always tell you it's not a good hobby. It's not even a hobby. They say it's not a good hobby. You should go learn the piano. You should go learn the violin. And yeah, so I fell in and out of it a lot. But the reason I got back is because, man, I was in love. Good. I was fully in love with magic. Cool. So.
And what I really like is how you use magic as a metaphor for your teachings, man. I think it's extremely unique. It's not boring. And it's just really entertaining. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. Look, it's you know, you probably don't know this, right? But actually nobody knows this, but I actually wanted to be a teacher.
Really?
When I was growing up and when I was in high school, you know, when you're applying for university or college, you have to write down, well, what's the first thing you want to be? Second thing and third thing, like the preferences, right? I put down teacher, right? But because, again, cultural pressures and whatnot, I ended up putting commerce and law, which is stupid because I hated it. But I've always wanted to be a teacher.
Cool. And what would you teach?
Oh, I I wanted to be a teacher because I wanted to teach, believe it or not, but self-development, because I learned real young. Like my dad didn't know anything. I think my dad isn't academic. He isn't, he didn't have any formal education, but my dad is one of the smartest people in the world to me because he reads, right? Mm-hmm. So all I got growing up was books, and I couldn't believe how many things my friends didn't know about life. I mean, they were amazing at math and chemistry and biology, but just life. And I was just like, whoa, cool. I wanted to teach that.
Cool. And you're pretty much doing it now, aren't you?
Yeah. Cool. Boy, it took a long time, man. It took a long time.
Yeah, a long journey. So what was the first magic trick you learned? Do you remember what that is?
Oh, the first magic trick. Oh, yes. Oh, this is so cheesy. But I'll show you.
Yeah, show me, please.
So the first thing I'd learned was with one playing card.
Okay.
And then you take the playing card and you essentially do this. You pretend you're sucking the card in. Mm-hmm. And you can just move the card just slowly like this. Right? And that was seriously the first trick I learned. And seriously, all I'm doing is I'm just using my thumbs and I grab it like this and I move it back and forth. That's it, right? So I remember doing that. I remember doing that in like year five to this girl I had a crush on, and she literally saw my thumbs go up and down and she laughed at me, and I thought, what a cow.
That's awesome.
That's the first trick, man.
That's great. It's a good trick. I wish people could see it from my point of view, but it's good. Now, okay, at what point did you realize you could leverage your magic or your love for magic and then use your skills with speaking? You know, at what point you realize you can do this and,
bring it together? Look, I think I've always wanted to be a teacher, but I never had the skill set to become a teacher. So if I talk about this in order, I'm a magician first. I became a magician first. Mm-hmm. And when I became a magician, you know, naturally as a magician, you have to start to develop showmanship, right? So in magic, there's two things. You have your sleight of hand ability, and then you have your showmanship and presentation ability. So I had the sleight of hand down pat, man. Like, you know, most Asians are good at piano and whatnot, right? I had good dexterity. And so I had that good biological advantage. And I then moved it into magic. And then I had to develop all my showmanship skills. And that's where I got my presentation skills from. So it's all those years, all those hours I spent in the theater up on stage. That's where I developed the speaking skills.
Yeah.
And then I was hit with the passion to teach when I watched one of Gary Vaynerchuk's videos. Mm-hmm. This was in 2009. Wow. He did a talk in 2009. It was on YouTube. I watched it. And it was the episode where he said, you know, it's 2008. Don't do shit you hate.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I sat there in my little crappy house and I thought, man, this guy's right. Like, I need to reconnect with what I once loved and was teaching. So, and that's when I went on stage and I spoke without doing magic. But then what I found was it was good. Like, people thought it was really good. They go, wow, this guy presents so well. But then I'm so used to getting reactions when I perform magic. And when you perform magic, people don't just sit there and look at you and just nod, but people are laughing, they're smiling, they're fully engaged. So I'm like, holy crap, I need to bring magic into my speaking.
Yeah.
It was a serendipitous thing. But because I'm speaking to business people, Alex, it was so scary to try to bring magic into a corporate environment. Because the first time I did it, I went to a law firm and I said to them, hey, I know you've got a conference going on. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a magician. I'd love to speak there. Do you know what they said to me? They said, Vin, you're a magician. We are a law firm.
Yeah.
Crushed my soul, man.
Sure.
Crushed my soul.
How did you get over that?
Well, I didn't for a while. I just went, okay, well, yeah, magic and speaking doesn't work. So it does, clearly doesn't work. And I let it go again for a while. But you see, it's so crazy how other people's opinions can just totally throw us off course. Like, that threw me off course, I reckon, for a couple of months.
Wow,
yeah. Like, that's 8 weeks, that one sentence that guy said, how it affected me. Like, mm-hmm. I think back and I'm like, shit, that is crazy.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. So 2 months later, I'm like, oh, but you know, I really feel like people aren't, it's not the same reactions, you know? So I tried again, except this time I did it for free. So I'm like, if I do it for free, surely I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And then I did it for free and then it worked. And that's when I was like, holy crap, it works.
You knew it. You knew it from the beginning.
But you know, it's funny how some things can derail you very easily when it's something that hasn't been done before.
Sure.
You know, because magic and speaking is a little bit weird. Like, no one in Australia had done it at the time. I've been looking it up, and yeah, then it worked, man. But then, you know, when something works, you're hooked. Mm-hmm. And I was hooked. I don't even know how to describe it. I was just like, yep, this is it. Cool, man. Chips all in, baby. I'm going all in. So
I'm grateful you did, man. Can you provide us some context of your childhood growing up?
Yeah. All right. So my family are refugees from Vietnam. So mum and dad came to Australia in 1981. So, you know, lots of hardship before that to get to Australia. But then they got to Australia, had me in 86. And, you know, growing up, real poor family, Alex, real poor, had nothing. You know, dad had his eight brothers, and the eight brothers banded together to work on the farm and then factories after working on the farm, double shifts, made a fair bit of money, built their own business. So we had a Chinese grocery. Every weekend, as of the age of four, all the kids in the Zhang family out at the grocery. Yeah, man, at the grocery, stacking noodles. Cool. Stacking noodles, making sure the noodles were right way around, and all the soy milks in the fridge had the labels at the front. So we, like, basically working as of 4 years old. So,
good.
And that was my life, man. And then, you know, we built more Chinese groceries. So then they would split the cousins up, and that was traumatic. And then we work in different groceries, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it really was hard. When I was young, I hated my life. Mm-hmm. I thought this life sucks. Every other kid gets to go to the park. Every other kid gets to go home and play games. I'm stacking noodles.
You're hustling at the age of four.
Yeah, well, you know, and mum and dad weren't shy to push us, you know, because it was stressful times. So it really felt like at the time growing up, and even up to my teens, it felt like life was just crap,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you, only when I look back now, I value it. When I was in the moment, I didn't value it at all. So let's fast forward. Primary school was like that. High school came along, and my dad and his brothers had some failures in business, and that caused the family to stress even more. So I wasn't really focusing on school. I moved high schools four times.
Wow.
because when I was 13, eBay just started, right?
Okay.
And there was this thing called an MP3 player that started to emerge, and nobody really knew what it was. So I bought them off eBay, and you know, with my mum and dad's credit card, who later got very pissed and smacked the hell out of me. But I bought 20 MP3 players.
Wow.
And then I took them to my school and I sold them to the kids at school. And I sold it for like double the price, right? And I would load music on there for them, whatever. I didn't know it was illegal at the time. But I did that. And then they would pay me $20 per week installment. And when they didn't pay, I paid the bully to go and to be, yeah, yeah, to rough them up, right? And then the bully would cry when the principal interrogates him and says it was me, and pulls out like $40 and said I paid him. And then they kicked me out of the school and said, you know, he can't be selling stuff at school. I did it again three times in a row, and I kept moving schools until I went to an adult school, and that's where the adults didn't care that I was selling MP3 players.
Yeah.
So I was buying MP3 players, hair dryers, whatever I could off Alibaba, and I sold them to people at school. So that was my high school life, man. And,
good.
You know, university, you know it. I just got into commerce and law, did 4.5 years of the 5-year degree, and then quit.
Good. So, what's one lesson? You know, I get a lot of hardship from your life growing up, but what was one lesson that you've learned from your parents through it all?
Man, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot. But if I had to pick one,
mm-hmm.
I would say that they helped me understand that adversity is truly your greatest competitive advantage, mm-hmm. right? So the harder you have it, the stronger you are. Like, every time you go through a hard time, that is the training required
mm-hmm.
to become a successful leader. So I remember this when I was young, just quickly. I used to be a really bratty kid. I used to look at other kids who were poorer than our family. And there weren't that many, but when there was, I was like, yes, I'm going to pay them out. And then I used to pay them. I'm like, haha, you know, you guys can't afford nice clothes or whatever, right?
Yeah.
My mom, I kid you not, my mom's not scared to hit me, man. Like, you know, back then it wasn't against the law yet, so she just karate chop you.
Yeah.
And then she says this, she goes, I feel so bad that I love you so much because I wish I could make things harder for you. Because you see that kid over there, when you meet him in the business world, he'll defeat you. When you meet him out there in life later, he'll beat you and you'll lose to him because you've had softer training. Never made sense to me. I was like, what are you talking about, mom? And I just keep going. But now, wow, those words, man.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, wow, that's, wow.
Even with me, I'm like, whoa, I just sit back and go, whoa, okay. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's sure. It's deep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's just one of those things where, you know, that's my motivation. When things get really hard, Alex, just think to yourself, man, this is exactly what I need.
Sure.
Because focus on who you become when you come out of all that, exactly, that hardship. Yeah.
And you just said, you know, you went to university, spent what, 4.5 years in.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
compelled you to leave university after being so close to finishing up?
Ah. I got to tell you this, all right? So I did work experience in one of the accounting firms. As you know, before you finish uni, you got to do a bit of work experience and you pick a place. So I did work experience for a week and then one of the partners there took me on board to work for a wage before I finish uni. So I worked there for 2 months for him. And then one day he comes out, and this is the craziest thing. One day he comes out to me and he says, in 6 months' time, two things will happen, right? One, you're going to voluntarily leave, or B, I'm going to fire you. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I thought I was doing a good job. Like, what the hell? I thought I'm fairly competent at it. And he said, look, I want to tell you why, Vin, you're in the wrong career path. He goes, I tell you now, you're in the wrong career path. And he showed me his hands, and he suffered from really bad arthritis or something. And his hand, like they're curling in unnaturally.
Sure.
And he said to me, for 35 years, I've given up what I love most to build this, all right? He goes, what I love most in my life is playing the piano. I have not touched a piano for 35 years. It's not worth it. Wow. It's not worth it. And wow, like that moment is the moment that made me go, you know what? Stuff it. You're right. So I asked him, I said, can you come home and talk to my parents? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So he actually came home, had dinner with my family. And I can tell you now, that was one of the biggest things that made my parents realize, holy cow, I mean, if that guy can see something in my son, I mean, yeah, I've seen it all along. It's time we start believing in our son. And that was the thing that pushed him over the edge. And my mom and dad were just all in on me after that. So
awesome. So they had pretty good reactions then for you leaving school. They didn't really beat you or nothing.
I think mom and dad have always known that I'm studying what I'm studying out of respect for them.
Yeah.
And I think they've always known, you know, your mom and dad know you best, right? And mom and dad always knew that I wasn't really happy. And I can see the guilt in them while I'm studying and while I'm hating it. But I just think they only wanted me to do, you know, accounting or into law and commerce and law because they've known way too much uncertainty. And they wanted something certain for me. So it didn't come as a shock to them, man. It wasn't like all of a sudden, what?
Yeah.
But we thought you love accounting. It was just, no, we knew you hated it. We knew you hated it all along. And you know what, son? This is a good moment. It's a good time to do it. And I'll tell you, it was my mum. She said, I was going to defer, man. So I was going to be like, oh, look, I'm not sure. I'll just defer. Maybe I should just defer. And then my mum said to me, no, you shouldn't. A man's most powerful asset is his ability to make a decision. She goes, when your dad made the decision to leave Vietnam, he didn't half-ass it. He built the damn boat and we left, right?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, when your dad said he would quit smoking when you were young, he didn't half-ass it. The day he decided he was going to quit, he's already quit. Like, it's just, that's the power of a decision, right? So she actually said to me, if you want to quit, then just decide.
Sure.
Don't defer. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool, I'll do it. And then I think she freaked out because she was bluffing, I think. And she had a bit of a cry, but yeah, I think she bluffed.
Very cool, man. Well, and you being so family-oriented as well, was it hard for you to make that decision did you feel like you were going to let them down by leaving school?
Yeah. Definitely, man. Like, not so much mom and dad, though. I can say that it wasn't so much feeling bad because they made me feel bad.
Sure.
I felt bad because of my community. So I don't know how much you know about the Oriental community, but in Australia, it's a very small community, and as a result of being a very small community, people talk a lot, you know. So I was the demon child. I was the one that didn't love my parents. I was the one that didn't respect his family. Yeah.
You were the black sheep, pretty much.
Man, I had partners leave me. I had, like, just, it was just, man, it was horrible, man. Like, my whole life, I kept allowing other people's thoughts to control me.
Sure.
And it's just, like, I think back to it while we're talking now, and it's one of the most frustrating things. Mm-hmm. When you don't have free, like, it's like you're not free.
Yeah. So you don't have the power.
And yeah, I was so crippled, man. I was so crippled by all those words and you know, mum and dad. I saw it affect them as well. You know, people saying, oh, how could you let your son do that? Yeah. You guys, he was so close. But to me, I was so close to ruining my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was so close to, man, you know, drinking myself to death, being in something I hated. Mm-hmm. And they just, I don't know, they just wouldn't let me be, you know. They had to have an opinion, which was really frustrating. And then just 2 years ago, the Vietnamese magazine came and said, oh, we want to highlight your success.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you think the Vietnamese community has helped you? And man, I was so bitter about it. But my dad said that, you know, you gotta rise above that, son. Like,
sure.
It wasn't those people who did it to you. Sure. You know, you should, yeah, so.
And it's crazy to think how many people follow professions that they don't love. And 30-40 years on the road, they really see what happens, the outcome of it, you know. It can be very detrimental to your health, like you said. You can drink yourself to death. Like, seriously, this is not a game.
It's not. And do you know how many of my friends who hate their lives?
Sure.
And it hurts me because I love my friends, man. And do you know how many of them on a Saturday night will go out, drink themselves blind,
mm-hmm.
because they just don't know what else to do?
Sure.
You know, and it's depressing, man. It is so depressing to see they spent 7 years of their life in university, becoming a doctor, then becoming a specialist, and then just now hating life.
Yeah.
I had a friend, oh man, I'm not gonna say her name, but I had a friend, her dad forced her to be a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. She did 7 years of being a doctor, then she became a specialist. She took the degree after she finished it. She went home, she gave it to her dad, and she said, there, dad, there's your damn degree. Now I'm going to do what I love. And I love music.
Wow.
And wow. I reckon that broke her dad's heart.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? They're like, when I heard that and she told me, she was in tears. I don't think her dad could ever forgive himself.
Yeah.
Because I think a parent ultimately just wants their children to be happy. Yeah,
they want the best for them.
But he just made her suffer for more than 10 years. But she did it because she loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's how crazy it is sometimes, you know, in some cultures, you know. And when she did that, I was like, man, like, wow. Respect. That was crazy.
Respect. How is she doing now? She's pretty good?
Yeah, man, she's awesome now, man. Like, she's a piano teacher and she's doing super well. And she loves life.
Good.
But you see, there's always that hurdle, right?
Yeah.
And for every single person, that battle is going to be different. Hers was a 10-year battle, man.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it makes you realize how much shit that really doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
Shiny things are nice, you know? Degrees are nice. There's all these things that we think are nice. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make you happy, right? It's just eye-opening. It's very eye-opening.
Yeah.
So.
Look, I think, man, we are alive for 87 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just think about this for a sec, right? This is my old man always says this. He goes, the fact that we're here, we're alive, is ridiculous, man.
Sure.
It's ridiculous. If our parents didn't meet, we wouldn't be here, right? Exactly. If our grandparents on both sides didn't meet, mom and dad wouldn't be here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, dude, let's take it back 50,000 generations, right, man? If a caveman ate a fruit and died, your bloodline vanished, man.
Exactly.
So he always says millions of years of serendipitous events had to occur precisely for you to exist for 87 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you put the two next to each other, Alex, me and you, we're alive for a minute. And I've lived 20 seconds of mine, man. Mm-hmm. I've got 40 seconds left. What am I going to do with the 40 seconds?
Yeah.
And what about you? You know, you've lived 15 seconds of yours, man. You're not that far behind me, right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do for the next 45 seconds of your life? You must do what you were born to do, man. You must do what you love.
Sure.
before we know them, man, we'll be in a box underground. So
we're going to have our kids one day, and we're going to have our grandkids. And yeah, no, it's crazy. Life is way too short. And yeah, we can't waste a second of it, man. So,
and man, if my kids come up to me later in life and they when I have kids and they say, oh, dad, I want to become a doctor, I'm going to be crushed, man. I'll be like, no, there's so many other fun things to do in life. But no, I'm not putting that down. Very important profession. But sure. I just can't wait to create an environment for my children to say, from day one,
I'm going to do what I want.
You get to be anything you want to be in life.
Yeah.
And I let you begin that journey whenever you know. And I'm going to let you be curious and explore. And I back you 100% from day one. I'm so excited to have kids for that reason, man.
You're amazing, Vin. I appreciate it, dude.
No, dude, thank you. Like, I always say, nothing amazing about me, something very amazing about the lessons that have made me who I am, man. And that's what you and I are doing, right?
Yeah.
We're sharing the lessons with the world. So,
100%. All right, yeah. So what advice do you have for those listening on who are entrepreneurs or who are aspiring entrepreneurs and want to find success in entrepreneurship?
Oh man, there's so many things. But again, if I had to pick one and I'm forced to pick one, I am going to say communication. Okay.
Yeah.
So boring ass topic, but it is communication. I just speak in almost stories and experiences because that's just how I learned them. But when I became a magician, Alex, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared with my magician mentor, he's in the UK. And I said, you know, I want to be a speaker. And he just laughed. And I was like, man, what the hell? Why is he laughing, right? And he's just laughing. He said, listen, buddy. He goes, your voice is horrendous. If you want to be a speaker, then do me a favor and go do singing classes for at least 2 years minimum. And it didn't really make sense. I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, look, then don't speak. Do the world a favor, don't speak. And I didn't really understand. So I listened to him. He had a lot of authority over me. So I went to a singing teacher. And this is my first experience, man. I walk into the room, she's sitting there. She doesn't even look at me, man. And she just plays one key on the piano and she goes, how do you feel? And I remember, like, man, it was so awkward. I said, you know, nothing really. And then she goes, okay, sit down. She plays this beautiful song called Romance, right? And she asked me again, she goes, well, how do you feel now? I said, actually quite sad. That was really, really sad song. She goes, most people in life go through life speaking like this with one key, right? I'm going to teach you how to speak like this and use all the keys of your voice.
Awesome.
Boom, right?
Boom.
All connected. I was like, take all my money.
Yeah.
Take all of it. So at that point, I realized the value of voice because you think about it, Alex, there are songs that make us feel sad. There are songs that make us feel pumped. There are songs that make us feel angry, right? Man, we all have an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
We all have an instrument and we have to learn how to use that instrument in a way that will influence others as an entrepreneur to invest in our vision so we can find a team of people who will, you know, accept sweat equity and join our journey. We have to have a voice that can motivate our people during times of absolute dismal failure. So I realized that for everything in life, I believe, not just entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs specifically, has to be communication in every sense.
I agree.
Visual communication, how you look, auditory communication, how you sound, physical communication, how you move.
Mm-hmm.
You have to own that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all different, right? So, and you know, if anybody's interested in that, I do have that TED Talk. Check out the TED Talk.
Yeah, I'll do is I'll link that up in the show notes for people who want to go check it
out. Yeah, because that's what I talk about, man. You know, that's my one thing I really believe in my life. You know, you get your communication down pat. You be the best you can be in that area. You get whatever you want in life.
100%.
But until that, Alex, it's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
It's going to be a battle. And my voice, once I trained it, it has served me so well.
Yeah.
And from now moving forward for the rest of my life, it will continue to serve me. So, you know, you just spend a couple of years on it,
mm-hmm.
fine-tune the instrument, and you'll sing beautifully for the rest of your life.
Awesome, bro.
Yeah.
On to the next question, dude. I think I know what you're going to pick, but what are a few pivotal attributes a person or entrepreneur must learn to be successful in entrepreneurship? So it's a little different from the last question. What do you think's a pivotal attribute?
An attribute, right? Wow. You have to learn how to become extremely comfortable with uncertainty.
Sure.
Right? Because on this entrepreneurial journey you're about to go on, and you know, this is speaking to all your listeners right now, all of you guys who are currently going through that journey and are thinking about it, you're going to have sleepless nights. You're going to stress. You're going to have anxiety attacks. You're going to feel really shit about yourself. You're going to feel depressed. Man, you're going to feel it, all right? It's an emotional roller coaster. It's why when most people tell me they want to be an entrepreneur because it's sexy now, I tell them, don't do it. Because you have to be ready for the most difficult emotional roller coaster of your life. And the main feeling you will feel on this journey is uncertainty. Maybe I should just go back to my full-time job. Maybe I should just go back to my university degree. Maybe this isn't made for me. Like, until you can become truly comfortable with uncertainty, that is the only time when you will start to be able to thrive. Yeah. So you have to be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one kind of out of left field. Hopefully it adds value.
No, it does. I was going to say self-awareness. Gary Vaynerchuk talks about self-awareness a lot. I think it is huge. And but same thing we said, I think it takes a lot of self-awareness to even ask yourself that question, like, okay, am I okay to deal with all this uncertainty that I'm about to have? And it never ends.
And it's okay to feel like you're scared of it. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just do it anyway, right? Because I always say to people, right, Alex, and you think about this, right? So say I'm an accountant, right? Say you're an accountant, you're an electrician, you're a plumber, you're a pharmacist, or whatever it is that you do, right? If you attempt the thing you love and you fail, worst case scenario, you go back to being an accountant. Worst case scenario, you go back to being a pharmacist.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, you go back to being an electrician. Man, that's not even a risk.
It isn't.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't understand. Yeah.
So the upside of success far way out is greater than the risk of losing.
Well, you don't lose. You just begin where you are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you lose it, you just get back to doing what you've always done. So why not spend a few years of your life exploring the possibilities?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you know, like, I mean, man, I think we're meant to be curious in life. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow when we grow up, we lose our curiosity, man.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. We're at the tail end of 2015. What are a few things you have planned for 2016, and what would you like to accomplish in the new year?
Awesome question. I would love, well, I've already begun the journey, but I would love to move to the US.
Awesome. Where are you going to? California.
Oh, I've been thinking really hard about this, and I've went there this year to do a couple of things, and I'm in love with Denver, man. Denver. I'm really in love with Denver in Colorado and Boulder, Colorado. I'm really in love with it. You know, the people, the community, there's an entrepreneurial community there, man. We just gel right in. So I'm looking to build my speaking business in the US and for next year. So yeah, I've already got quite a few. I'm going there quite a few times already next year. So man, one day we got to catch up. Where which state are you based in?
I'm in Utah right now. I'm from Las Vegas. But I'm about I'm about 4 hours from Denver. So trust me, I'll be there, dude. I'll be there. We'll make it happen, dude.
Keep in touch. And can I just quickly ask you one question as well?
Yeah.
What are you trying to do next year? What is your big goal next year?
My big goal, I'm writing a book.
Writing a book. I haven't done one, but awesome. That's is it easy? Is it hard?
You know. So I'm two chapters in right now. What I've done, I'll kind of give all the listeners some insight of what I've been doing. I've been writing for the last year. I've been kind of mindful. Okay, I want to write a book. This is what I want it to be about. So it's called The Legacy. I want to provoke the idea of what are we going to leave behind when we're gone. Kind of ties back into a lot of shit does not matter. And to me, what really does matter is what I leave behind or how I impact other people's life. So what I've been able to do in this last year is to actually write out all the chapters. I know exactly what each chapter is going to have. I know the subchapters. And then I have been just filling in the blanks. So I'm about two chapters in. I've taken a step back the last couple months because I'm like, okay, 2016 is where I really want to sit down. And I want to, that's my goal, 2016, is to write it. So I've been able to step back and work on some other projects. But what I want to do is I want to go through Kickstarter. I want to crowdfund the project. But I also want to do the one-for-one model where you buy a book and I give a book away for free.
Awesome. Well, make sure when you get that Kickstarter, man, you email me, man. I'll back you.
Trust me. We're going to do it, man. We're going to do it. But
awesome.
Yeah, I want to take a moment, though. I want to acknowledge you, Vin, for what you've been able to accomplish so far. You know, we've kind of touched on it. It takes courage to have, to have the audacity to even think that you can be successful as an entrepreneur, right?
And yeah.
I admire that you have your head on straight, your family, you put your family first, and you know, you're just doing some cool things. So again, I'm grateful that I've been able to connect with you. I'm grateful you're on, man. So
hey, look, I super appreciate your time as well, man. And again, I commend you for seeing an opportunity. And I mean, you saw my Facebook thing and that same day you reached out to me.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's why you're going to be successful, right? Because you're not afraid to take action. Mm-hmm. And you don't fear taking massive imperfect action. And that's why you're going to win, Alex.
Dude, hey, I appreciate it, man. I look forward to what the years to come, right?
Yeah.
I have one more question for you, dude. You ready for it?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So if there's one word, it kind of ties back into the legacy and what you want to leave behind when you're gone. But if there's one word to describe the way you want to be remembered for generations to come, what would that one word be?
There's a couple of cool magic ones, but no, you know what? I'm going to go with foolish.
Awesome. Why?
Yeah. Because I am where I am because I've been bloody foolish, man. Awesome. I've had ridiculous dreams. Like, I mean, think about it, right? A corporate speaker that speaks to business people with magic.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, people are just like, and again, you know, it's that, I love my inner child and my inner child is foolish as hell. Mm-hmm. And I hope I stay foolish forever, man.
I love it, dude. A great answer. I was going to say fearless, but fearless and foolish are very close, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So foolish means I could be insane. So either way, man, if I am, I hope I am. So I hope I stay that way.
Dude, you're the man, dude. Again, thank you again. I appreciate you coming on this episode. And we'll chat soon.
Take care, man.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Vin. Please do me a favor, go like and rate this show. It helps me and helps the show get more exposure. And yeah, just help us out. So again, I appreciate you. Love you guys. You guys are amazing. My name is Alex Hernandez, and I'm out.